This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Thank you, Jerry, and we will take it from here with Blue Jays Talk till 4 p.m. Eastern. So get your dialing fingers going at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Disappointment for the Blue Jays after an incredible come-from-behind win last night. They don't get the sweep. They lose 8-4 to the San Diego Padres, and right now the Blue Jays have fallen back into a tie for the Red Sox for second place in the AL East and the wild cards. Boston is trailing Detroit, though, 3-1 as they play in the bottom of the sixth. And the Jays 2.5 back of the Baltimore Orioles, who are home to Colorado tonight. Let's get right to the phones. Melvin in Toronto, you're going to lead things off. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for letting me lead off. First of all, happy birthday belated to Kevin Barker and Benoit. It's my 70th today, and I'm going to take a different pathway with you today, Mike.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Thanks very much. Last night and today, I heard two of the best home run baseball calls by a play-by-play announcer that I have heard in my life. Last night on Dickerson's home run, you said he destroys it, not after he hit it, but when he hit it. And today with the Wallace home run, you use four words: deep, up, and gone. They were two of the best home run announcements I ever heard since I've been listening to baseball. So I'm going to tape you and send it to 29 other teams. I'd hate to see you leave, but you should.
And thank you very much. I appreciate it. I wouldn't put either one of those in my top five, but I appreciate it for sure.
Well, some comments about the game. The knuckle failist did what he usually does.
No, he didn't. I mean, you're allowed to be upset with R.A. Dickey. You're not allowed to make stuff up. This is not what R.A. Dickey usually does. He usually not give up five earned runs in 5 2/3 innings. He doesn't have an ERA of 8.5. He doesn't lose every game he starts. This is not what he usually does.
I was terribly impressed with the Padres. Andrew Cashner, his twin brother Maurer, and that Buckter guy. Three monsters that came out. I was really impressed.
Dickey has a better ERA than Cashner.
Yes, he does. If we could get Cashner for Dickey, it would be marvelous.
That's
Mike,
not gonna happen.
Have yourself a great day and excellent work.
Thank you, Melvin. Usually Mel, changed to Melvin, I'm assuming, in honor of Melvin Upton Jr.'s arrival. I do appreciate the call, and I appreciate the kind words. But look, I'm afraid that this is what's going to come from a lot of people today. This is not, it's not a typical R.A. Dickey start. It's not. He was not good today. And he hasn't been good, I think, three starts in a row right now. And this is very unusual for him because in his Blue Jays tenure, R.A. Dickey has been... yeah, pretty crappy in the first 2 months and then really, really good from June on. This year it hasn't happened that way as he's taken a step back. This is his third straight start where he's allowed at least five earned runs. So this is very unusual for R.A. Dickey, and I know there's a population out there and a large one that thinks he's terrible and the Blue Jays lose every game he pitches and they should just release him and all that crap. It's just not true. If you're frustrated with Dickey, if you're not happy about how he pitched today, that's totally fine. But don't call in and tell me that he's terrible, and don't call in and tell me that he always does this. Just don't move it to that next level. Because we got to keep things true, despite a frustrating game today. Jason is in Caledon. Hey, Jason.
How are you doing today?
All right, thanks.
Hey, Mike, My biggest squirm is not with Dickey. Dickey, you know, does his job, and if he's not having an off day, it's up to Pete Walker to go in there and get him out of there. And basically, I think Pete Walker's been using his middle relief as his setup guys, and he's not basically... yeah, and Dickey was pitching with not too much rest today, so why not go to your bullpen early? Why not even give the new guy a chance to just work himself into the new Jays uniform and let him go for a couple of innings when it was down 4-0. I think a starting pitcher in our team needs to have a 4-run limit, and then we go right to the bullpen. And no mistake, I think we don't have two setup guys right now because he's looking and hunting for them right now. But I think that you're going to have to eventually forget about your starting pitching, just like the other teams are, and really clutch on that bullpen and make it strong. So when you have the lead after the sixth, they know you can't beat the Toronto Blue Jays. And how you do that, I think, is you got to put your left half in there, and you got to choose Sanchez or Stroman. And those two guys are your setup man after the seventh, and that's it. What do you think about that, Mike?
Honestly?
Yes, honestly.
I think that's insane.
Why?
The Blue Jays have the best starting rotation. They have the best starting rotation in the league, and you want three of them in the bullpen.
Nobody else cares about their starting. They're only letting the pitchers go six innings.
Right.
So their bullpen are strong, and we're backing the boat. And I think it's because Pete Walker does
Jason,
not.
Jason, I'm sorry. I can't continue this conversation. I mean, first of all, you think that Pete Walker makes pitching changes. He doesn't. The manager does that. The idea of putting Jay Happ and one of Stroman or Sanchez in the bullpen because you want the starting rotation to be worse so the bullpen can be better is so beyond counterintuitive. It's not even worth discussing anymore. So much so, in fact, that I think I need to take a break. We'll be back with more of your calls. The Blue Jays beat the fall to the San Diego Padres 8-4. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
1-2 to Upton, hit on the ground in a right field, base hit. He just steered that thing through the hole. And that's Melvin Upton Jr.'s first hit as a Blue Jay. Edwin Encarnacion goes to second, two on for Kevin Pillar. First hit is Jay from Melvin Upton Jr., and it was part of the Blue Jays' three-run rally in the bottom of the sixth inning. Started with two out and nobody on with Encarnacion walking. Then that Upton single. Kevin Pillar followed with a two-run double, then an infield single by Devin Travis, RBI single by Ezekiel Carrera, and the Blue Jays down 7-1 with two out and nobody on in the sixth inning, managed to put the tying run on, but Darwin Barney flied out against Brad Hand, and the Blue Jays didn't get another hit the rest of the way, and they lose 8-4 to the San Diego Padres. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones we go to Leonard in Brampton. Hello, Leonard.
Oh, hi. It's Brantford, actually. That's fine.
Oh, sorry. That's my bad. Maria St. Aubin, our fine producer, did put Brantford on there. I read it wrong. My apologies to everyone in Brantford.
Okay. So I guess we can talk about Aaron Sanchez with regards to whether or not they do or do not move him to the pen. And with regards to, does R.A. Dickey's recent struggles factor in that decision, do you think?
Well, you have to remember why the decision is being made to move Aaron Sanchez to the bullpen. And you know why it's being made, right?
Innings limit, I know. That's what they're
right,
talking
about. Right, to save wear and tear, so
yeah.
to lessen the risk of a catastrophic arm injury in the future to Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do with whether or not R.A. Dickey's pitching well.
Yeah, but the thing is, what if they can ill afford to put Sanchez in the pen, meaning like that they need him, as a, like you said before, like if
doesn't
you take
matter.
Him out, that's one less quality starter you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The reason he's coming out is to keep him healthy. That doesn't change no matter what, how much they need him.
So when do they plan to make the decision? How many more innings does he have left?
I don't know. I mean, there's no strict innings limit. There's not a number at which they're either going to move him to the bullpen or, you know, shut him down. I don't think they're ever going to shut him down. I think they're keeping an eye on him and monitoring the innings and the pitch counts and the stressful innings and the not-so-stressful innings. But I don't expect him to be in the rotation beyond the middle of August.
What if he keeps sailing along, though? Like, then what do you do?
Doesn't
like,
matter.
Seriously, yeah.
What's the difference? The limit, it's to keep him healthy, right? How many guys have been sailing along, Jose Fernandez, Matt Harvey, just in the recent past, even, you know, a couple of years ago here with Drew Hutchison and with Sean Markham and Kyle Drabek sailing along with no signs of anything, boom, gone. The idea that there is this gradual drop in performance, once that happens, it's already too late.
So when and if they do put him in the pen, are they getting a pitcher, or are they putting Hutch into that his spot? What do you think?
I think they're going to try really hard to get a pitcher before Monday.
Well, we got a few more days left, Like, there's not, from what I write up, there's not very many big names.
No, there aren't any big names available. Yeah. I mean, there's Chris Sale, I guess, but I think that's a pipe dream. Pipe dream here. You're right. I think they're just going to try to get another good starting pitcher and bolster the bullpen by moving Sanchez back there and keep the offense and defense going, and this is a very good team.
I hope so. We'll wait till October.
Yes, indeed. But we get to actually talk about October legitimately, which is something that we're certainly not used to around these parts before last year. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Leonard. Let's go to Rich in Milton. Hello, Rich.
How are you, MW?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Look, I don't got too much to say, but it really pisses me off that people are booing R.A. Dickey. You know, he's gave us a few good years, and, you know, I like him, and he's always positive, and I don't think people in Toronto should be booing him.
I don't think people in Toronto should be booing any of their own players unless there's a lack of effort.
No.
I mean, but I think in the last few years, the psyche of the fan has changed, and it's changed from support your team to entitled to performance from a lot of people. And you know, if that's the way you want to be a fan, that's the way you want to be a fan.
No, you're right. Hey, listen, good couple innings called, man. Have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Look, I don't think you should ever boo the home team, ever, 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 unless there's a lack of effort or, like in Detroit earlier this year, a home team player gives the crowd the finger. Then fine, boo. You think R.A. Dickey went out there trying to get lit up today? No. When players aren't performing well, that's when they need the support of the fans the most. I thought it was embarrassing that there were some boos for Dickey as he came off the field today. Blue Jays lose it 8-4 to the San Diego Padres. We're taking your calls till the top of the hour, and we'll try to get the manager, John Gibbons, in as well for you. Joel in Toronto. Hello, Joel.
Hey, Mike. I was at the game today, so I didn't have the luxury. I assume nothing to read into Tulowitzki and Saunders not being in the lineup, just a day off.
Yeah, day game after a 12-inning game. You know, they had 13 hours off from the end of the game to the beginning of this one. They're over 30. They're veterans. Well, Saunders isn't over 30, but Saunders has played 9 games last year. It's 100 degrees. Yeah, they've already won the series. Perfect time for a day off.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well, you pretty much answered my question. I guess the only, last night was a long game, but I was just thinking with the righty on the hill, I guess Saunders hit the righties and lefties. It doesn't really matter, but I just would have liked to see him in the lineup. That's completely logical what you said, so I hear you. All right,
yeah,
thanks.
You got to play the 162, right? I mean, it is tough. Nobody wants to come to a game and see 3 regulars out of the lineup like the Blue Jays had today with Michael Saunders and Troy Tulowitzki and Russell Martin. But you got to play for 162, and this way they all get 2 days off going into a run that begins on Friday, because from Friday to the end of the season, October 1st, October 2nd, the Blue Jays have 6 days off from Friday to the end of the season. So you got to give your guys rest when you can. The temptation to put everybody in every day is overwhelming. But you can't give into it, even if it means. And, you know, a lot of the times the Blue Jays have put out lineups that look terrible, and they've scored 7-8 runs. Today they got 4. Wasn't enough. They lose 8-4 to the San Diego Padres. San Diego staving off the sweep. Let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of this afternoon's loss.
Gibby, would you say the decision to flip Estrada and Dickey was a failure, or is it something you still feel was necessary?
Yeah. We didn't get the results we wanted, but I've got no doubts about that. You know, I actually thought he had a pretty good knuckleball today. You know, they just got some big hits, you know, a couple homers and then the big double. So, yeah, I mean, if there was a lot of reasons we did it, didn't work out, but you know, I don't regret that at all. And then, you know what? I tip my hat, and we appreciate him doing that for us. So,
obviously, you got to him later on, but what made Perdomo so difficult to hit early on?
Great arm. Great. You know, you look at his stats coming in. I think he's been pitching much better later, but he got a great arm, and it didn't look like a 6-plus Ernie, you know. And, you know, you get great life on the ball. You know, he'd ride it up and he'd sink it, and a nice little breaking ball. So, you know, I was really impressed, to be honest with you.
Gibby, you're so used to seeing the opposite. Is it jarring for the dugout to see a play where Pilar bobbles the ball at the warning track and then it gets thrown away on a relay?
Yeah, I mean, that's we play better than that. That's, you know, one of those plays that happens every now and then, but that's rare for us. But what happens sometimes, that ball's in the gap, and they know there's a chance for three. You know, it's tough to slow yourself down to grab that thing. So that's, you know, balls, you know, sometimes they take that tricky hop too. So that's unusual for us.
All right. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Was it good for you to get Benoit in the game, his first game back? Now he's got his feet on the ground.
Yeah, Richard, I think it's always important. You get a new player, the sooner you get him in there, the better. You know, he's been around the league, and just like Upton, they've been around a while, but they're veteran players. But you know what? They're in a new place. You know, they want to fit in, and the sooner the better. That's when they're like young players. You know, they're trying to get that first one out of them, I believe, anyway. So all good.
There you go. John Gibbons talking about getting Joaquin Benoit in right away, getting Melvin Upton Jr. in his first start today, and he goes 1-for-4 with a single and a run scored. Benoit went a scoreless top of the ninth, but he did walk 2 and strike out 2, and the walks are the scary thing. That is why Joaquin Benoit has had a hard time this season. He just hasn't been able to control the walks. This is a guy who, coming into this season, was, you know, a control pitcher since 2010, when he really rediscovered himself as a Tampa Bay Ray. Over 6 years, he had a walk rate of 2.6 walks per 9 innings. This year it's 5.5, and it went up today as he's walked 17 now in 25 and a third innings. So if he gets those walks under control, he would be a real asset in this Blue Jays bullpen. If he can't, he's not going to be around very long. Back to the phones we go. Daryl is in Sacramento. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Mike. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you.
I got to give you mad props. With my job, I listen to a lot of ball games on radio, on SiriusXM, and you got to be the best play-by-play caller out of all the different teams, and I can't wait until you do this full-time, seriously.
That's very swell of you to say. I appreciate that a lot. There are a lot of great people in this game, and I'm just starting out, so a long way to go.
Well, then you're going to have a great long career ahead of you. So my question, Mike, Aaron Sanchez, it seems like every time he goes out there, he is like virtually on the verge of just packing away a no-hitter or even a perfect game. Like this kid just can't seem to go wrong. And if they do put him in the bullpen, I mean, great. He's got an awesome attitude. I heard the statement that he had put out the other day. And so mature for such a young guy. But what do you think about that?
I think he's definitely got no-hit stuff, absolutely. But I don't know how much that factors into actually being able to throw a no-hitter. You know, there have been some great pitchers who've never done it, and there have been some terrible pitchers who've thrown perfect games. So no-hitters and perfect games involve a lot of luck. Just ask Steve, who has 5-1 hitters, right?
Mental fortitude, that I think will probably come within a couple more years. Do you think that he's a lot like Roy Halladay?
I don't think he's anything like Roy Halladay. Very, very, very different pitchers. But I think he's been fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to watching him for a long time.
The way he plans his game in his head.
No. I mean, Roy Halladay was sort of like, unlike anyone I've ever met, as far as planning the game in his head and moving from one pitch to another. And Halliday's a Hall of Famer, so let's give Sanchez a few years before we put him there.
Yeah, well, let's hope that he gets there. All right, thanks for taking my call, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, appreciate it. The call from Northern California. People being so nice to me today, and the Blue Jays lost. That's weird. Usually we don't get that here on Blue Jays Talk. Powell is in Oakville. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. It's probably the first time I've gotten through. Just wanted to put a theory out there in terms of why R.A. Dickey's been struggling the last couple starts. Could it be the fact that we've had insane amount of humidity and heat over the last couple of weeks, where basically he's throwing a knuckleball in the 70s, and if it's hanging up there because the air's thicker, could it be just slowing him up enough that it's just not moving as the way it should?
Well, I mean, I'm no meteorologist, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so I don't really know. I think you'd have to be part meteorologist, part physicist, part Scientologist to actually know the answer to that question. But for me, when you look back at what R.A. Dickey, when R.A. Dickey has been successful in the past, it's been June, July, and August. You know, those have been great months for him in the past. So I'm going to go with a no on that one.
Okay.
I think he's just pitching badly, three starts in a row. It happens.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes there are no explanations, and sometimes there are. I don't know about that one, again, because of the track record in the summer. But I do appreciate the call, and I appreciate that you're thinking, trying to figure it out. Blue Jays lose 8-4 to the San Diego Padres. Today, R.A. Dickey gives up 7 runs, 6 earned on 4 hits in 5 and 2/3 innings, but 4 walks and a hit batsman in there as well, and 2 of those 4 hits, home runs. Ryan is in Toronto. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I just want to add to Sanchez's topic and kind of say I've definitely battled this like a lot of fans. It's hard to see a pitcher that's doing so good, you know, looking at going to the bullpen, even though it makes a lot of sense. I completely understand it. And I think as a fan, I really respected and kind of changed my view a little bit just hearing his comments and how human they were in the terms of his maturity and saying, like, I really don't want to get hurt. That's what I took from his comments he made. I guess it was yesterday or Monday there where he said, you know, like, you know, everyone's watching. I don't want it to happen. What's happened with Harvey. And I think that makes you change your view a little bit on things. Hearing that, you know, the maturity that's coming out of him, as much as he wants to compete and go out there every day at the end of the season, I think he understands, you know, the situation he's in. And, you know, as fans, I think we have to want the best for him in the long term because he's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, you hope so. And you know, we as fans, I think we often forget the human cost when a guy has to have surgery and go under general and miss like a year and a half of his life rehabbing on his way back. I think people tend to think that's nothing. All right, cost of doing business. But it really isn't. That's one thing. And I think, you know, what we heard from Sanchez is that he's not going to pout and he's not going to get angry. He's going to accept the decision when it comes, which is great. He would love to stay in the rotation. I know that. He would love to stay in the rotation, but the best thing for him and for the future of the team is if he doesn't. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the call and the level-headedness. And what I wonder is, I mean, if Sanchez, he's 11-1 and he leads the league in ERA. If Sanchez was 8-6 and had an ERA of 3.80, would everybody be okay with him going to the bullpen? Would it be, all right, fine, he'll go to the pen and he'll be great back there and he'll be fine? Well, why wouldn't you want him to be as good as possible in the rotation and then as good as possible in the bullpen? This is the perfect outcome for the Blue Jays, for Aaron Sanchez this year. Time for one more call. Mike's in Maple. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. I just have 2 points. The first one is about R.A. Dickey. I don't have the number, but I think that out of the 5 starters, he could be the one with the least run support.
Because, yeah, I think that's true.
Because he always plays with Tolley, which is not a good batter, not such a... And the other 4, they have Russell Martin, which is way better.
Yeah, and that's so, not why.
So he's basically playing with 8 guys. And if my other thought about Aaron Sanchez moving to the bullpen, I would risk it. I would go all in. The guy wants to pitch. The guy's been so good. And if you're going out there to get a starting pitcher to help us in the future, as you guys have been saying, there is not much out there. There is no price. There is not such a good pitcher to get. And I would just gamble it with Hutchinson, which I don't think there is anyone way better than him out there. I just want to hear your thoughts about it.
I don't understand. You said you would go all in with Sanchez and gamble with Hutchison. How does that work?
I would go all in with Sanchez, and if any injury, I would call Hutchison and try to improve the bullpen. That's what I would focus on.
Yeah, that I understand now. I think that, you know, Drew Hutchison is obviously the next guy for the Blue Jays as things stand right now if they don't add another pitcher at the deadline. But, again, just like I said to the last caller, Ryan, people are really cavalier about the health of Aaron Sanchez. And, you know, it's great for you to gamble with Aaron Sanchez's elbow exploding. There's no cost to you. There's a cost to the team, and there's a cost to Aaron Sanchez. Because you dramatically increase the risk of him having a catastrophic arm injury if it actually happens. I'm sure most fans would gamble and would love to. But, again, if you increase Aaron Sanchez's innings by 70 to 90, which is what will happen if he stays in the rotation for the rest of the year and the Blue Jays make the playoffs, you are greatly increasing the risk of a catastrophic arm injury. It's not to say it's going to happen for sure, but you are greatly increasing the risk. Thanks for the call. Thanks to all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get, but we got to go. Blue Jays lose at 8-4 to the San Diego Padres. Post games brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.